Hi, welcome to episode 2 of New Zealand Vegan Podcast. I'm your host, Knuckles, and I would like to talk this week about something that I have really been thinking a lot about ever since I heard it, partly because it very much illustrates the extremely low profile of vegetarianism. Well, I have to say veganism. It's so annoying to have to say veganism. Vegetarianism is what we really should be able to say. I'd love to switch that back around, but anyway, let's say veganism because that's what I am promoting, because I can't promote vegetarianism because the accepted vegetarian term includes the consumption of animal products and the wearing of animal skins and all that. So it just goes to show this article and this interview on the BBC World that I'm going to talk about the extremely low profile of veganism in New Zealand. As any vegans who live there know, who live here know, it's very low profile here, especially anybody who's lived in places like England or America. They have a huge profile, lots of restaurants, and you know, we can make that happen here. There's no doubt. It's definitely starting to happen already. So it will happen more and more. And not only the extremely low profile of veganism in New Zealand, but the extremely low profile of veganism in the world in terms of global discussion, in terms of the global warming discussion. I mean, it's a very low profile. Take, for example, case in point. I was listening to the BBC and there was an interview with a New Zealand farmer. It was in October, and I actually have the article here if anybody's interested. The link is BBC News Programs. It's called From Our Own Correspondent. So the link is news.bbc.co.uk. Boy, it's a long link. I'm going to put it on my blog site. Anybody who goes to there, I'll put it on there and you can read it if you're interested in it. But the reason I wanted to talk about it was because I heard the interview and it did astonish me, and I try to think of myself as not naive, and I am aware that there's very little concern globally about veganism. 99.999999 to infinity, I'd say, of people on the earth completely wouldn't even be considered to even think about the concepts of veganism or in their life. You know, I'm going to talk on another show about the global dispersion of vegan activism, because I feel I'm very lucky to live in a country where I can sit in front of my extremely old and rusty computer with my really cheap audio gear. But anyway, I can talk about this. I'm not in a war zone, and I'm not fighting for my life on a daily basis, and I'm not trying to survive in a place where there's famine. So, you know, we must be very careful not to judge and not to expect too much from certain countries. But I strongly believe that the reason, that one of the main reasons that those countries are in the state they are, is because of the huge animal consumption in the world, which condemns a significant population of the world to starvation due to our use of the Earth's resources going towards animal agriculture, which fuels most of the what they call the developed nations' consumer products, the majority. So it is up to us to try to do what we can. And if you go somewhere and or if people try to use the argument to say, well, you know, it's not fair, you know, you're on your high horse and, you know, people in Africa are starving and, you know, you can't tell them that they have to go vegan. Well, I'm not necessarily going to go to Africa and try to tell people in the Eastern Republic, you know, Democratic Republic of Congo, who are in the middle of a extremely violent civil war between the government forces and the rebels, and who are being driven out and, you know, barely sustaining themselves due to this war. I'm not preaching to them, and in fact I hope I'm not preaching to anybody. It's just a spread of ideas, especially amongst those of us who have the luxury of choosing. We're the consumers of the world, of the world's resources. It's us. Look around you. Anybody who's listening to this podcast or listens to any podcast has a computer. And if you have a computer, you have a phone connection, and you most likely live in a pretty comfortable existence, in a pretty comfortable society in terms of material wealth. And we are the ones who are consuming all these products. We're the ones who are eating meat. We're the ones who are wearing all the leather. And these other countries are barely surviving and have starvation and war. And I think a lot of it is related to that. So that's why I don't, it's hard to explain what I'm trying to say, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say when I say that. Anyway, back to my main story this week, I try not to get too sidetracked, is about this interview I heard, which, like I said, really illustrates a very, very big part of, you know, the fact that the discussion of veganism, I should say, doesn't even come into these kinds of issues that the world is having. I mean, global warming is a huge, huge issue. It's all over the place, and you do vaguely hear a few people talk about you know, veganism as being a very much of a, if not a total solution. I mean, human population is obviously out of control, but I don't know what to do about that. I mean, I'm not into annihilation. I'm a pacifist. But definitely, it doesn't get as much of a mention in the mainstream, and that's due to the previous reasons I just talked about. 99.9999% of the world consumes animal products without a second thought, and we think of them as just things. Anyway, I'm talking like five topics at once. I need to stay on track. This topic, this week, episode 2, is about this BBC. It's called Taxing Farts and Burps. That's the name of the article. And it's about the Kyoto Protocol. New Zealand promised to cut our emissions to 1990 levels. So in other words, we're in 2008. Oops, sorry, 2009. This interview was done in 2008. And the Kyoto Protocol is now saying we have to cut our emissions down or we're going to be taxed on it. And there was a huge outcry. And the interview was basically talking about the outcry from the farmers, you know, saying it's not fair that we're being taxed so much. Basically, the story is that, I'll just read you a little bit. You see, ruminant animals, as they are called, I'm reading this from the article, chew the cud in the various compartments of their stomachs, and they produce methane, which they then emit. And methane is by far the biggest global warming polluter in New Zealand. About half the total, in fact, there being little manufacturing to speak of. That's a direct quote from the article. So let's just all close our eyes for a minute and imagine a vegan New Zealand. 50% of our methane production is gone. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't know if there's any methane production from producing soy or other vegetables. So, if you know the answer to that, please enlighten me. I would love to know. But let's just imagine in New Zealand where there is no animal agriculture and the difference in the atmosphere that alone would make. Anyway, let's get back to reality. There's a tax that's going to be put, and this is, like I said, October last year. And there's a huge publicity campaign from farmers because they've discovered that the majority of the methane emissions come from the animals belching. Burping, that's the majority of where it comes from. In terms of an individual animal, it produces it from its burps rather than its farts. So there's a huge campaign, and I'm sure it's getting a lot of publicity and a lot of money because this is what we, as a society, we back. This is what everybody's going to be backing. You know, unfortunately, it's up to people like us to spread the word and open more people's minds, especially young people, because it is all about the majority opinion. They want to do they want to saw off the tax. They want to cut the tax a lot. The farmers do, for promising to put up money in return that they're going to say, look, don't tax us on all this, on these methane emissions of all of our cattle and sheep, etc. Well, and to make up for that, and in return, we will put up money for research into how to stop cows and sheep belching. I'm just going to repeat that. They're going to research how to stop cows and sheep belching. They're going to use taxpayers' money, which is our money, and they're going to use probably some other kind of money that they're going to get from their own profits, because they're profiting from this animal agriculture, and that's why they're protesting the tax so much, because it's cutting into their profits. That's the only thing they care about. And it makes me laugh because all these people have children. You know, what kind of world are their children going to have? But anyway, so partly funded by farmers, says the article, and let me just assure you, everyone, I'm pretty sure the rest of it will be funded by us. Research is now going on into whether a vaccine might stop cows and sheep passing wind. All right, so they haven't talked about veganism as an option. Well, of course not. So to this end, this is back to the research, the genome, the exact genetic makeup of microbes in the ruminants' stomachs, ruminants are the cows and sheep, etc., has been mapped in a lab on the North Island. So somewhere in the North Island, there's a lab conducting experiments into the microbes of these animal stomachs. You can guess where they're getting the microbes from. I shudder to think what other experiments they're doing on these poor animals as we speak. If science does not, so they're identifying cows also, they're identifying cows which burp less with a view to breeding these low emitters to produce calves which burp less. So this is where they're putting all their energy and towards this problem. This is where all of the energy is going. It's going into scientific experimentation on the animals to make them burp less and fart less. Okay? Now you see why we need more people spreading the word about going vegan. It's really very, very important. So that's why I'm doing this, and also because I've had this extreme irritation about this article, and I'm feeling so good about getting it out, and I can finally think about something else. So there's here the next title in the article is Economic Loss. The farmers have been calculating the pluses and minuses of New Zealand emissions trading schemes. And, you know, if there was a New Zealand farmer listening to this right now, which is highly unlikely, but I always like to consider the possibility. You know, I just would like this New Zealand farmer to know that, you know, I know that this is your livelihood. This is how you make a living. It's probably all you know how to do, and it's probably the way you feed your family, and maybe your father was a farmer and your grandfather was a farmer. But that doesn't mean that you have to continue doing it. And it's not about you personally, Mr. Farmer. I'm not judging you for what you're doing. It's just simply, first of all, I am an animal activist, an animal rights activist, so I am completely against animal exploitation as a moral issue. So if you can't understand that, I don't blame you, because otherwise your every day would be filled with horrific, you know, guilt about what you're actually doing to these animals. They're your property to you. I'm sure they're just things. I don't know. Perhaps you are a person who has empathy and you just push it aside when you send them to the slaughterhouse. I really don't know. But it's not about you. It's not an attack on individual people and their way of life. It's not a judgment. I do strongly believe it's the only solution to the ending of cruelty. I believe it will help promote peace on earth between human beings as well. And it will definitely save the environment for your children. Because if you really want to know what's going on, go and pay close attention to what is actually happening on a global level to the planet with regard to, I mean, it's not just the methane emissions, it's soil erosion, and there's also been terrible instances of contamination of water supplies from agriculture because it's getting so intensive. And, you know, there are other ways that we can make money. I mean, if we get together, we can grow vegetables and make money off that. We'll be able to, you probably just, to you, it probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm still speaking to you, I'm speaking to everybody. So, back to what the farmers have been talking about. So, they're very upset about cutting down the herd. This farmer, the spokesman, said that cutting the herd from the typical 350 cows is an average herd, I guess, to 275 cows, and then planting a quarter of the farm with trees. So the Kyoto Commitment says, or one of the ways that they've decided to do it, which I do support because it is less animal agriculture. It means less animals. They are saying cut the herd from 350 to 275 and plant the rest in trees, and then they'll get some money back. They'll actually be rewarded. It's like a reward scheme. It's like a punishment reward scheme. So more trees you plant, you get money back. You know, you pay less. The less animals you farm, you know. So all of this stuff is going towards the right idea, but it's not for the right reason. They're not saying, you know, like the way I'm thinking of it, you know, is that 350 cows down to 275 cows means 75 less cows, you know, being exploited and horribly suffering and being slaughtered and all those things. And that's great. I mean, if there was 375 more vegans, or should I say 75 more vegans in New Zealand this year than there was last year, there would be 75 less people demanding animal products. So, you know, that is still really the only way that we're really going to make any difference, because even though Kyoto is saying make less, farm less cows, and that will save you money and everything, they're totally protesting it because it cuts into their profits. I mean, they really, the animal does not come into this at all as an animal. It's a producing machine, and the majority of people feel that way, as we all know, but not everybody does. I don't. A lot of people who are listening to this hopefully don't. Vegans don't, and anybody's capable of seeing that point of view, but it's really hard when you're struggling to survive or when you're making a huge profit and that's all you've known your whole life. That's the way you were raised to think about the earth, and that's why I love children. Bring me more children. Let me talk to more children and young people, please. Let me into the universities. Anyway, farmers think that that's crazy to cut down the herd and to plant more trees, because it would mean, they say, running the farm at a loss. They wouldn't make, not only would they not make profit, they say they would lose money. Forbid that. So, they're saying, what he says is that any plan that involves fewer cows and sheep, it does not make sense. Okay? That's the response to that. We know that the world needs food production, he says. We are very good at it. As we know, we do not need to eat animal products to be optimally healthy. Yes, the world needs food production. Correct. Does not need animal food production. Right. There is a wider issue here, says the article. In the great global warming debate, much of the attention has been on industrialized countries, but it is relatively easy to cut emissions in a factory, let us say, or an office. New materials emerge, technology helps, people organize themselves differently with relatively little pain. But for countries with large populations of ruminant emitters of global warming gases, like New Zealand, but also Brazil, Argentina, Ireland, Australia, Latvia, what is the answer? Perhaps they should think of a tax, but what to call it? So that was the article. Now, what is the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. Go vegan. Stop producing animals. Stop farming animals. Stop eating animals. Stop wearing their fur. Stop wearing their leather. Stop wearing their wool. And all this problem will be solved immediately. Then we have huge other problems to think about, which I am dying. I mean, in my lifetime, it's not going to happen. But if in my lifetime I can convince even one other person to go vegan, and hopefully get them to convince another person and another person and another person, we may have a chance of saving this beautiful planet from total environmental destruction. So it's all we can do is keep trying. So that's the article that made me laugh just at the fact that vegetarianism was not once mentioned, perhaps farming other types of food produce in this beautiful, extremely spacious, low-populated country. We are still quite, we have a lot of land-to-people ratio, was never even considered or mentioned, and that just lets anybody know who thinks that, you know, we have a long way to go, and the problem with promoting happy meat or free range, I mean, there you have it. New Zealand is one giant free-range farm. I mean, no, we are doing some intensive dairy farming. I mean, it is happening, and it will happen as the population grows. It will, unless people start going vegan. We're a giant, a free-range farm, and look at the damage it's doing to the environment. Now, the reason I'm a vegan is not because of the environment. I'm a vegan for ethical reasons. But I just, this article, because you see a lot of people really don't realize how bad things are with regard to the planet and the environment. They really don't. Talk to people, ask them. Say, do you know what's happening to the ocean? People don't realize the devastation that even shrimp farming has on the ocean, and how huge swaths of the ocean are just dead. And I mean, no life, you know. And obviously polluted. It's really quite sad. But this article did wake something up in me that just even more established the fact that there was just so little knowledge or thoughts about veganism at all on a global level, which is why I talk to every single person that I meet, and I don't care who they are, it comes up. And you'd be surprised, you see, I don't go around getting on a box and telling people that. Everybody in my life that I meet, even in a store, because you see, animal agriculture, animal production products are related to every aspect of our life, every single aspect of our life. And I mean, I used to brag about how New Zealand cows, you know, when I was not a vegan, I used to brag about how our cows lived out in the fields, and they didn't live in sheds, and they ate grass, and they got to run around their whole lives. And of course, I quite conveniently blocked the whole slaughterhouse process and the whole taking the calves away from the mothers process, and just the whole way the animals are treated. I mean, you know, abused, they're horribly abused, they are slaves. And just go to, you know, look up abolitionist approach, www.abolitionistapproach.com, to get the concept of animals as slaves. And you'll see why welfare and the so-called free range is really just making us go backwards. In fact, people are consuming more meat and more animal products because they now feel better about it. Huge animal groups are promoting the consumption of free range. And more people are going back from vegetarian to eating meat, and the consumption is actually going up, which is why I'm very much opposed to any kind of promotion of anything but veganism. And we are in the minority at the moment, but I talk to everybody and that I meet and that I know, and you would be surprised at how people have never been confronted with this argument ever in their lives. And it does open something in the brain. Believe me, I believe that everybody is possible to see the incredible logic and the truth behind this argument of that veganism is ethically the right life to live as a human being. I mean, we're not, we are what we are. And yet I am also not a hypocrite. I know that somewhere in my house there's probably some kind of animal product, whether I like it or not. Maybe it's in the paint. I am a human. I do pollute. I am what I am. But at the very least, if we went vegan, the very huge amount of starvation would be resolved. We'd stop cutting down the as much of the rainforests. So anyway, I'm babbling, so I'm going to end that. But that article was astonishing to me, and I did write to the BBC and say that I was just utterly, outraged that vegetarianism, or should I say veganism, was not even mentioned at all, and that they were just going to go ahead and do experiments on these creatures, and that was their grand solution. And that just lets you know the mindset of the entire planet. So good luck to us. Let's keep it going. Don't give up. And we got to get the information out there any way we can. And the more people who talk about it, the bigger the grassroots movement will be. It only takes a few to do it. Just like they abolished human slavery, it can be done. Keep going, everyone, in the spread of the message that veganism is definitely the way to go, and is an extremely easy thing to do. And I always think, just if every single person in the world stopped eating McDonald's, we'll just pick McDonald's, every single person stopped eating McDonald's, McDonald's would cease to exist. We have the power as consumers. Forget the law. Forget trying to go to the government. You know, you're not going to go to the government and get them to pass laws on people's meat consumption. If the 99% of the population doesn't understand or doesn't think that it's wrong to consume animals, there'll be an outcry. The law wouldn't pass and it would be unenforceable. There'd be riots in the streets. So the law follows the people. I didn't come up with this concept. I wish. I'm not that intelligent, but I'm certainly passing the information along because it makes perfect sense to me. So we need to talk to everyday people because we have the power. We're the ones. They need us. All these things we complain about, all these powerful people we complain about that run our planet, these racist, you know, bigots, these slaughterers of animals, these destructors of the environment, it's all related to us. I take full responsibility for everything that happens. I am a vegan, but that I take responsibility, which is why I am an outspoken vegan. And I never used to care about anything. I was always against group discussion. It makes me shudder, but I can't stop myself from talking about this. So we're all responsible, but we have the power. They're terrified of that. It's all about us as consumers, and right now nobody gets that. Of course, many people don't want to change the way they consume. They like consuming what they consume. People enjoy wearing leather. They think it looks good. And so, you know, that's why I say, you know, this is where it begins. It's a great, you just talk to the everyday people, and the most important people to talk to are the young people, because young people, like when I told my, when I introduced myself in my first broadcast, my experience as a child with the affinity I felt with animals and things like that, and then the fact that it just sort of died a sudden death until I was in my 30s and I kind of caught it back again, you know, most children would extremely embrace the concept that it is wrong to hurt animals and they feel an affinity with them. And, you know, as we know, our responsibility is to spread the information of how actually healthy it is to be vegan. It's not an unhealthy thing to do. In fact, it is a healthy thing to do. So that will help people to, especially young people, to have more power to go vegan, and the next generations to go vegan, even if their parents can't understand or don't approve. When they get to be teenagers, they can make the decision and they can be a living example to their parents. They can be healthy, they can have energy, and they can go to the doctor and get all their blood tests and be shown to be incredibly healthy. And then we just, we start changing the consumer demand. That's all we have to do. That's the secret. That's how, without us, they're sunk. All of these rich men that run this world, they're screwed without us. We give them all our money. Stop giving them your money. Anyway, thank you for listening. And I feel so much better about that. The article I'll put a link to it. The interview was astonishing. It was actually the interview I listened to. I didn't read the article till now. I really wish I could listen to the interview again. That was what really got me, when I heard this farmer and going on about the profits and how they'd run at a loss, and the interviewer just talking about, well, you know, what are you going to do about it, and them talking about the experiments that they were going to do. All right, thanks for listening, and I have so much things to talk about, so I'll be back. Goodbye.